Got it? I'd like to call our Town of Brule committee meeting for July 1st, 2019. Mr. Daigle, can you lead us in the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Councilmember Daigle.
Here.
Councilmember Bourgeois.
Here.
Councilmember Richard.
Here.
Councilmember Andre.
Here.
Councilmember Niesler.
Here.
Attorney Acosta.
Here.
Mayor Rhodes.
Here. We had a few changes to the minutes that we went over and included those changes in your package. If you want to look at them and see if you think anything else needs to be changed for the next week, we'll have those ready for you. Committee reports. Public Works Committee. I'll read the project, our Public Works update. Total rainfall for June was 4 events for a total of 8 inches, 6.9 on that one day on June 6th that we discussed heavily last week. We had those several drainage issues that we talked about. One unauthorized discharge on that day because of the heavy rainfall, and that was back at the Live Oak Station that the back DEQ visited. Everything was approved by DEQ, so we're good there. We had several skate alarms at our wastewater lift stations, mostly loss of prime. Zero out of compliance test at the sewer treatment facility. Road overlay project is almost complete. We have some final cleanup that remains and some final testing. We'll have that done. A catch basin was installed in the graveyard behind St. John the Baptist Church. There's a huge, huge catch basin back there on a ditch that we maintain. And the church agreed to pay for half of it. So in your bill, in the bills, you probably, I don't know if it's in this month's bills.
It is.
The church is going to pay for half of $9,800. That one costs $9,800. And they're going to pay half of that $9,800. The other $11,000 in there is $2,000 on some other catch basins that we're doing some other work on. So we had a total of like, what was it, $11,100, mm-hmm. I think was in there. But the one at the church cost $9,800.
And that was a liability.
Absolutely. There was a huge hole right next to the street, and the church agreed to pay for half. Yeah, and we had a manhole right there, too, that was causing some issues. So they did a good job on that. We're starting to work on the one on the River Road at Catch Basin.
The triangle.
Uh-huh, we're going to work on that one next. So... no personnel incidents to report from maintenance department. Upcoming Republic roadside debris pickup is scheduled for July the 8th. That's the week of July the 8th, starting on that day, and it goes for a week. Our extra monthly pickup is scheduled for July 26th. While I'm on Republic, Mr. Harlan, I have no idea why they hate Courtney Estates, but they didn't get you again last Thursday. And they finally got you on Saturday, from what I could gather.
Saturday.
Yeah, I called Carla Saturday and said, we need some help. They didn't even answer my email Thursday. Yeah, so I was followed up on it, and Josh emailed me Saturday, I guess about 10:30, and he said Courtney was complete. Why, I don't have an answer for you. But yeah, that's part of it. Now, I know... The answer is always the same, as they're having trouble keeping employees. So that's the answer we always get.
So remind me again, I know that we're under the parish for monthly pickup, and I don't want to beat this dead horse, but we continuously have issues with them. Of course, they're in the news for East Baton Rouge Parish.
Yep.
Are they going to rebid? Do we know when the bid comes up?
September.
September.
Yep. Oh. September. This year.
At the last meeting.
Okay.
There was an article in the paper. Because Mayor Broom from Baton Rouge has been on their...
Yeah, saw it, yeah.
They said they hired 9 new drivers, and a couple of supervisors were actually running routes and stuff. So I think it's still got some more time before it gets better. I think it'll get better each time if those people stay.
So the squeaky wheel is going to get the... Yeah, they're going to put their focus in East Baton Rouge because of the size of the contract for sure, too.
But it's the same company.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it
yeah, they don't have to bid again.
September.
September.
Yep.
But the issue is, if you get one bidder.
Right. Well, there's... I don't know how many How many they have, other than Waste Management, Republic is the only two predominant or big players I think you have, but but it's worth it. We need to definitely do that.
That's going to happen in September. And
perfect example for me that you need competition.
Yeah, sure.
You have one that absolutely wants to show, you got to take whatever they give. I don't like that.
Yeah, we we'll definitely be involved. I mean, it's usually the parish contract, but I'm involved with Jason and him on that all the time. So if you want to help, you know, we can. I'll let you know when the meetings start. All right, that's it for project updates. Drainage discussion, and I guess we'll go ahead and include the Live Oak lift station upgrade in there. We passed the budget last week, and we talked about adding that extra money for drainage. We talked about our hot spots and Roy. We got in touch with Roy, Shane did, and Roy's going to start working on some kind of solution. If nothing else, prices on the solution, and hopefully give us some ideas on what we can do to help. So, Roy, can you?
Well, there's two issues. Drainage, rain events. Like I told you too many times before, it's a number. Shane sent me emails, talked about that 6.9 inches, whatever it is. You threw a number at me, 8 inches in so many hours.
Right. I mean,
you get toward 8 inches, that's a better than a 10,000 year storm in 2 hours. Right? The 6.9, you were way out beyond a 100 year storm. So when you start playing with drainage and numbers, it's a number. So don't be fooled when somebody tells you a 50-year storm, I can handle it. And somebody says, oh, that was a 100-year storm. 100-year storm's a number. When drainage ditches get hit, the rain events, 1.5 times the number you designed for, things are going to overflow. And I told you before, too many times, these calculations are made on ditches are open. There's no leaves clogging up the ditch, no basketball in somebody's culvert pipe between point A and point B. There's no plywood over a boat. It's open ditch.
Yeah, I think that brings up a good point. Shane and I discussed digging out that ditch on Venzuel and getting it to grade. We had that meeting with Roy about possible other areas of retention. Remember, we talked about that. So we're going to continually work on trying to get some drainage issues solved. I don't know what the idea is. I'm no engineer. Retention just seems to stick out of my brain as far as the best thing to do is hold a little more water.
Well, that's what retention is for. It's a lot of your ordinances and regulations are going with you want the runoff pre-construction not being seeded, so post-construction has to equal pre-construction. That's where retention comes in, because it catches that initial outflow of water and it releases it through a controlled release. Your retention pond for Brulio's is a small diameter pipe at the bottom that's a controlled release. The thing fills up and goes way beyond that rain event, goes over the top and goes out in a larger hole. Okay, so those were numbers we were throwing around when you had your last little bit of development moving over. That's what it's about now. Still, I'm dealing with Pee Wee on other stuff, but understand your drainage out for the cooling the other way is going to be improved. I'll use that term in the other week. I understand there was some servitude or right away issues with the syncline. I think those are being worked out.
All right, so while we're talking on that, I'll go ahead and scratch that off my mayor's report. David Toops, the mayor of Addis, and I, and Jason Manola, and we had all of the parish drainage people. We met with the farmers. All the farmers, Shane came, and we discussed with the farmers about laser leveling and what that's doing to our drainage. The farmers say that their runoff is no faster than what it was before. I don't have any proof one way or the other, but that's what the farmers told us. But they are willing to help us any kind of way we need. They want to be good neighbors. Mr. Papera farms up on this side. Talked about some ditches going toward the middle of Sinclair. Addis has some issues. They're going to laser level a field over by the old Harry's One Stop the other direction and try to make that water drain that way as opposed to draining this way. It's going to put it on someone else. That's what we have to pay attention to. When you change something on one side, it's going to go somewhere else. So we did meet with the farmers, and you know, he said that might relieve some off of Tonton if we can drain some of his field that direction or hook in some of those ditches to the Tonton and go that way. So I need to get with you on that as we move on with this drainage project. So,
our town is designed for so much water. I think we need to look at the ditches dug to grade, cleaning out the ditches, make sure all the ditches are dug to grade. That's where probably we need to start with what we got now.
One of the biggest events and problem everybody has, I mean, everybody does, is during low rain events, fall of the year with leaves falling, low rain events, leaves and debris and dirt and silt collects in the bottom of the culvert. As soon as it dries up and hardens, that next rain event is not going to wash it out. It might soften it up to the debris after that, might wash some of it out. But it's not going to move it out. The culverts aren't kept clean. You change the 24s, you cut it in half. It's, the number doesn't just go by half. It goes by the exponential. It really cuts down that flow.
So
keep clean ditches and clean culverts. Keep the quantity of water you designed for flowing.
Now, there's a lot of the built-in retention in these ditches and stuff. They have some, you know, and it's just the nature of the beach. It's a constant battle.
Depends on what's happening around your event, like we talked about. If you get a tropical storm and you're pushing the tide up, pushing it up the intercoastal and the Choctaw Canal and all that, and that water level's high, the water's not going to leave you as fast as you used to see. The water's down, it's got more gradient to flow, it's going to go.
That Shane and I discussed that too. We're working on those ditches in the hot spots. We did Eileen. We're going to try Benzu.
Well, part of what Shane's told me, he has set some marks from the bridge that crosses the Tonton right there by your pump station, Benzu, and some others. If you ever have a high rain event, Tonton's up, mark the date, get a mark, do something to know how high the water is. So when a surveyor comes out to collect data, we can survey that mark and put it in relation to the real world, we know how to relate these events. Right now, tailwater, when we're talking about Choctaw and Tonton, you've got to start with a number. You have to have a tailwater event. So what elevation do you use to run all your numbers back upstream to see where the water's going to go? I opened this talking about Brule Oaks. There was a conversation that Brule Oaks used to flow from the cane field back across West St. Francis into that retention pump. Water's going to go to seek the lower level no matter what you do. That design was, because that Brule Oaks is really the ridge line from Brule. Water goes north from there and it goes south on the south side of it. Depending on how a rain event occurs, it can reverse and go back the other way. Just where it occurs, it's the flow in every direction until the canal opens up. The answer to we had on that canal, we talked about that culvert at the end where it enters the cooler, which is called the cooler. Jim Tate went back and ran those numbers. Yes, it's going to change the level in that cane field bit, but it does not come back as far as Brule retention pump, Brule Oaks retention pump.
But once,
there's no effect on the retention pump here.
Right. But we still need to open up that retention pond going.
Yes.
Right. While we're on drainage, I attended a Louisiana watershed group. Held a meeting at the parish office talking about it. Grant money coming down from the federal government for, I think we're in the Terrebonne watershed is what it's called, and it runs all the way through down toward Terrebonne. Same thing. Everybody was discussing money for drainage and how we're going to get it and where does this start. So drainage is definitely a hot topic right now throughout. And they asked us to give them any information that we see. We mentioned the farmers, and that's something that they hadn't even really discussed. And the farmers said they're not doing anything different. They need their topsoil for their crop. So they need to retain their water and not run it off real fast. So the watershed group is going to get with the farmers also. So I guess it's just a hot item right now. So we're definitely looking at it. We're looking at it on a lower level like us. So Shane and the guys are going to work hard on clearing those ditches out. Shane, you got elevations on that ditch at Venzu, right? And it needs to be cleaned out, right? Yeah.
Don't we have a jetter to jet the culverts also?
We did that already on Benzul.
Yeah, that's a never-ending thing.
Okay.
So many culverts, we jet it plenty of culverts.
Yeah, we do that all the time. We also did it back by Wendy's house back here. Did that a while back, too. All right, any other questions on that?
All the stuff you're talking about, you can just compile a nice list, send us in a complete in progress,
right.
4 weeks out, 6 months out. So when the phone rang, I pull a list up and say, hey, Mr. Kevin, I thought this was going on, this is where we're going, this is what we're doing next. That way it's kind of transparent and open for everybody to know.
I think we'll do that too, Shane, and bring it to you. So when I say you as a council, because remember we talked about not having a list on how we're going to spend that money, and that way we can kind of break it down on how much it cost us for all that. If we go outside of our own, you know, what Shane does to clean a culvert out, that's just normal business. But if we go outside and get a contract,
anything we can afford to pay for in 1 year, I mean, that best we could be.
We'll start nipping them out. We'll come for approval. Hopefully we can have it done sometime next month.
Right.
We'll do that. All right, and with that, we'll move to the Live Oak sewer lift station upgrade. Roy?
Shane and I have talked about throwing it out before. If you're in dry weather, you don't have the problem. Everything works fine. Sewer system works fine. When it rains, you got an inflow and infiltration problem. Then it becomes your sewer system now a drainage system, so you have a drainage problem again, not a sewer problem. Now it's in the sewer system, so it backs up. And that's why it's now a sewer problem. The pump station in the Live Oak was designed to handle so much sewer with minimal amount of inflow and infiltration. Normal events you hadn't had a big problem, these big events you do. There's umpteen ways to skin this cat. You can go change the two pumps you got, make them a lot bigger, more horsepower, pump to the same 8-inch line, try to solve it with just two pumps in the hole. Then you run into problems on the low end, you're in dry flow because your pump's so big. I said, talking to Shane, I said, if I had a preference, I would drop the suction of a large pump into that wet well like he's doing now when he bypassed it. Size one pump that big for a rain event. Electronically, we discussed turning off the pumps you have until they involve the sewer pump. But when it fills up, turn on this large pump, large horsepower, and force it down that force main. That pipe is pipe rated for, you know, 80 or 90 pounds of pressure. You only run about 30 pounds of pressure. Now we can put a lot more flow. It takes a lot more head and flow and more horsepower. So we had somebody just throw something at it. I sent him an email with a bunch of numbers in it. He threw 100 horsepower, and I looked at it. We probably could get about a 75 horsepower. But that'd be a way to look at it.
Yeah, I like the idea until I saw the price.
Oh, it's going to get you, you know, push. Those numbers you saw are just the purchase price of those things.
Right.
Once you put it all together, I bet you're pushing $100,000.
Yeah. And the sewer system, unless we go up on user fees or find some other creative way to pay for it, it's going to be tough. We do LGAP every year. LGAP got us $19,000 this year. We could move on spending that next year, possibly. But it's just something to think about.
Also already spent a fortune trying to find the leaks.
Yeah.
Can't discover leaks. It's an international problem. Everybody's got sewer inflow infiltration. System aren't tight. You know how to get around it. If you're a good plumber and brother-in-law knows how to do it, he can get you around this plain fun.
It's not the box here. All right, so you want to put a pump to handle when we got water. So water infiltrating in is a drainage problem. So does this pump have to be? It's not a, that point is not a sewer pump. We got.
I see where you're going. Yeah.
We got no money.
Right.
So if we're doing it to fix drainage, that's a town problem, not a sewer problem. Because
right.
When we're in normal conditions, the poop is going west.
Right. When
it's
not
in normal conditions, we can't keep up because we got a drainage problem. We need to pump the water out. We just can use that line to pump it out.
Yeah.
And to me, it's not a sewer problem at that point. It's a water problem.
Where are you talking about putting that pump? I know initially we were talking about putting a third one in the lift station itself.
Well, both of the pumps now are above ground.
Right.
Okay. All I'm going to set the third pump there above ground.
In the same location, at the lift station, at the same lift station on Live Oak.
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't laid that out. That's just the thought process.
Right.
We've done it before in a couple of locations, a couple of small communities.
I like the idea, the money part of it. I mean, would just a pump. I think we talked about it. Just around numbers, $30,000, right, Shane? Somewhere in that number.
Yeah. There's some installation fees
and electricity. And then working all where the pumps shut off and on properly. So,
as far as 75.
100.
100.
He just threw out numbers. The pump itself is about $23,000 and 100-horsepower motor. That size motor, whether you want to use a VFD to slowly ramp it up and slow it down so you don't have any water surge hammer issue problems, you know, you're looking at another $35,000 to $40,000 there. So you're well over $50,000 just with the VFD and the pump. When you get into controls, it's anywhere from the $10,000 to $20,000 control panel. They don't have a laboratory or a control panel, turn it on, turn it off.
My feeling is we get Roy to put some numbers together on this, and let's look at doing that, because that the Live Oak station is the tell-all for our sewer.
We're going to do it. And this is what we got, and this is the best. I don't want to be somewhere from here this way.
Yeah.
I don't want to say where.
In the middle, right.
This. 75 can make it, 100 the best. I'm going to go 100 plus.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other critical issue that I asked. Shane, I said, okay, you have the pumps pumping that direction. You came in with a bypass pump and dropped the suction hole, the line in that hole, and pumped it to the canal. I said, how big was that pump? Let's add the two together. What you had running, what you pumped in the canal, that's about how big I got to make this to keep up. It comes out about 1,000 to 1,200 gallons a minute. Right now, that pump station's rated for 650 gallons a minute. You're about doubling the size of that station. 1,200 gallons a minute, you're getting to the point you're pushing the design of an 8-inch pipe. You get the velocity up so high, you can get horsepower and push it as high as you want, but then you start getting into mechanical issues of turning on and turning off, pump that big, that's called pipe. You can, I'm going to use the word blow it up, you can blow it up with surge and hammers and you're not careful with the tool.
I suggest we move forward and get a price on that. And we're not going to fix infiltration cheaper than that, right?
No.
You're not going to fix it. And we're going
to
have
to find it.
Yeah.
We can't
other,
find it.
The other force may not go down there is you reduce head loss and some more pumps, you know, but you're still going to push $100,000 doing that.
I want to move forward on that and get some prices, and let's see if we can make the dollars work.
What's the worst could happen if we end up saying it's a drainage issue, they fill the town when somebody come back and say we can't give money to ourselves forever.
Yeah.
We've been doing
like we've done in every other small town does, right? Yep. Okay.
I mean,
I get
it. We own the sewer system, we own the town, but if we owe money to ourselves, so what?
All right.
I know the accountant's home. Better than having stuff back up at people's houses.
Yep. That's our goal in the back, is to stop that. We shouldn't have to go out and fool with that every time it rains. So, that's, if you guys are in favor of that, that's what I'd like to go ahead and start doing and getting Roy to put some numbers in, and we'll get everything to you guys, and we'll make a determination, and we'll do a budget adjustment if we have to. All right.
I've got a question.
Yes, sir?
Roy.
Yes, sir.
We only have the problem when we have heavy rain with that pump. So if we would correct the drainage, then we would to leave everything like it is, huh?
And you use the word drainage. You have to close the leaks.
In the sewer system.
That's the problem we're talking about. 2 years ago, I don't know how much you spent. Somebody spent 2 or 3 months over here.
Yeah.
The leaks.
Cameras and smoke and dye, and we did everything and couldn't find the big leaks. So.
It's the water leaking in there.
All right. Anything else on the public works? All right, we'll move to planning and zoning. There was no quorum on June 26th. We're going to try to schedule a special meeting for this week so we can get it. We're going to get it done. So we'll have a special meeting Wednesday night for planning and zoning. That should be out tomorrow. Finance Committee, you have the bills in your package. If you want to go through them and let us know if you have any questions. Personnel, I don't have anything. Recreation Committee, bike share for all the people that haven't seen. We have bikes on the levee and in Alexander Park. They're bike shares. You download the app. You pay $2 an hour to ride the bikes. It's Dow Chemical, or just Dow, I guess, gave us the money to put the bike share program in process. We had 10 users over the weekend, which we just put them out like Thursday or Friday last week, and no advertisement, and we had 10 users. So there's somebody.
Does that count you?
Yeah, that counts me. I was the 54-year-old user that's listed on here. And we get a breakdown on the admin page. It tells us how many users, male, female, age, because that's all in your phone, right? We burned, how many, 24 miles was ridden, average was 2 miles. 965 calories total was burned on the bicycles on the levee, so it breaks it all down for us. So anyway, I think it's a good thing for our community, and if you get a chance, download the app and go give it a shot. It's pretty fun. You'll start seeing it on our page here before long. We're going to advertise it on our webpage. Dow is also going to do a bike safety day. And they're going to have a little meeting. I think we're going to do it at the park because the levee might be a little crowded. We haven't decided yet, but Dow's going to kind of drive that. And they're going to have a little bike safety thing and have the kids come out and some kid activities for us. So that should be nice. Anything else on bike share? With that, what came to mind, Tom, and you can maybe help us with this. In our ordinance, it does not allow bicycles on sidewalks. The new sidewalk they're putting on St. Francis Street, they're calling it a trail, and they're encouraging people to use it for bicycles. So I don't know if what you guys think, what your opinion is, to change that ordinance to remove bicycles from that ordinance. The ordinance...
It's going to be wider.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be wider.
If you add sidewalks or refurbish sidewalks,
making them wider?
Mm-hmm. To match that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So should we take bicycles out?
I don't know. It's something to look at. You may want to put... I don't want to get too technical, but you may want to define trails
versus sidewalks
in terms of width, and you know, ones that will have be allowed to have bicycles on, ones that don't. I can tell you, I've personally ridden bicycles, even though now I realize it's been a walk.
Right, on sidewalks, yeah.
Sidewalks,
yeah.
By the church there.
Right, oh yeah,
before the bike trail was put safer. In on top of the levee.
Yeah, it's definitely safer. Even though you're supposed to ride them on the street, it's safer.
I pulled out his taser.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Statute of limitations. But, so you may want to have a minimum.
Right.
If somebody is riding down the sidewalk, nobody's walking on either side of that.
Yeah, well, the new one should be wider.
Yeah. Other thing is in looking at that, you may want to look at, and I was just me talking to Blaine in front of the meeting, we may also want to just look at it and see how it defines three-wheelers, golf carts, four-wheelers. You don't want any of that stuff on these trails.
Right. It says motorcycles, motorbikes, and something else, but I just kind of wanted everyone's opinion on that, if you guys thought that was worth it to go ahead and take that off, since they're encouraging with these trails throughout the parish to ride bikes on the sidewalks.
Yeah.
We have an ordinance that says you can't ride bikes on sidewalks. It just makes sense to reword it, if you will.
Well, a collision between a bicyclist and a pedestrian is probably going to be a lot more safer than a bicyclist
in a car.
And we already define roadways within the parish. Maybe we need to define trails and say these are the trails where bicyclists will be allowed.
Yeah, Kevin could probably help us with that, with all the definitions of trails, since he's worked on that grant.
I'll look at the parish order.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's define the ordinance and go work through the details.
Yeah.
Before we finalize it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it next week. But if you guys are fine with it, we'll start working on that ordinance piece and try to knock that out. All right, report on the plaques. No, wait, hold on. We are bicycles. Police committee, we have anything?
Hire Austin.
You want to put it on Monday's agenda? Full time?
Yeah.
Governmental affairs, we put money in the budget this year for Municode, and so I just want to make sure you guys are okay with us spending that money on Municode to get that rolling. Everybody's okay with that? We got the contract in the office. We'll move forward, and Municode's pretty easy. You can pay them in different budget years. They don't really have a problem, but we'll go ahead and move forward and get that Municode working. Now, Municode's a good thing for everybody, I think. We'll get that going. Report on plaque ceremony, Ms. Bourgeois.
Yeah, we had our Landmark and Heritage Commission ceremony on June 23rd. We awarded 5 landmark plaques. Todd Lucas for the house that Jack and Faith Saradet built on Arlene Street. Arlen Landry's home on Drive. Mike and Karen Everett's house on Arlene Street that Roy and Emily Andre built. And the home of Sarah Ann Saradet. And the property that Lane Morales owns on St. Mary's Street, a house built by George and Genevieve LeVere. And we also recognized the site of the Eureka Central School on Main Street. So Shane's getting that sign ready. So that'll be across.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
The sign's still in here. Yep.
The sign's there. He's going to mount it on the pedestal. And that'll be across from the post office. Thank everybody that helped with that.
Thank you, Ms. Bourgeois. That was I've been to a few of these, and this was the most attended one we had, mainly because it was all them Saradets from the back that showed up. But yeah, we had a big group of big group of Saradets. Yeah,
that's right.
Other matters. I don't have any other matters. The mayor's report. We had another leak at the police station. I think you guys probably know about this. I had them come look at it today. Tom said that it didn't go very well. The guy said that just happens, but I'm not going to stand for that. So I'm working with the air conditioning people, the roofing people, and the contractor. It's just a flat roof, and the water pools up there, and it spills over, and it's just not fixed. It's been leaking since they finished the building.
Since it was built.
Since it was built.
So we don't have
mold? No, it just ruins our equipment. That's that's what happens. It falls right on the equipment. So, anyway, just to let you guys know, we are working on that. They came out today, and I'm going to continue to follow up with them tomorrow when he gives me an answer on what the solution is. I thought we had a great day in the parish last week when the governor came to the 415 site and signed House Bill 578. I think that was good for the parish. It's going to take a while to get it going. There's always negative when people see that, but I really have a good feeling this is going to be completed. It's going to take a long time. I think they're talking about starting in the spring of 2022, I think is what he said, is when they're going to start, but they're working on, I'm going to use the word study, they're working on the engineering plans for the whole 578. So that was a good event to attend. I think I covered everything else in my mayor's report. Mark's a personal privilege. Anybody have anything?
I've got a question back here about the water system. The water wells going on that we put the screen in after the fourth. The water line contract has been awarded to Allen and LeBlanc. It's supposed to start the week of August 1st. There's a storm on North Line Road head this way. So hopefully, I don't know, mid-winter it ought to be broken through.
Okay, that brings up another point. We were replacing 2 catch basins on Venzu, and we decided to hold up on that because we don't know where the water line's going to come through.
The water line, I'm asking you to write your letter and talk about it. But come across that cane field and that land at the end of Vega Street that hits Venzu, right through your servitude there. You take up a lane of Vega Street to get the water line in. You've got a sewer line and gas line on one side, and a sewer line and a water line on the other side.
Right.
So the water lines have come down one of the lanes on the Vega Street.
Yeah. So what we did was we held off on those 2 catch basins. We didn't want to fix them, and then they dig them all up. So we're just going to wait, and we'll spend that money on those catch basins once it's done. That brings up another point. We talked with one of the residents there. What is the possibility on drainage to lower a street for retention? Is that even feasible? So like all these homes that were built a long time ago on Venzuela and Anita that are built too low. If you took the whole street and lowered the street, I know it's expensive. I'm just thinking out of the box. I'm trying to think of anything that we could possibly do.
We talked about that, some of those open lands and servitudes and right of ways you have. When you get into a retention pond, again, that's a number, it's a volume.
Yeah.
Then you talk whether it's going to be a dry retention or wet retention. You build a pond over here this time of the year, right now, today, Mississippi River.
It's full, right. Yeah.
You can't build it.
So you can't.
You've got to seal it.
Uh-huh.
So the earth press is not putting water in that pond, so you have it drier and reduce elevation. So when it does rain, you got some volume to put in.
I guess, you know, what I don't want to do is the streets that, that we have those issues, I don't want to overlay that street and lift that street up and block drainage again.
I bet it was 20, 25 years ago, I was in here. One thing you can do on a street, you can go in and put your little dip in.
Yeah.
Let the water cross the road.
Over.
You want to know what it does when it crosses the road.
Yep.
How much it goes across and how does it affect the people on the other side?
Right.
That's what it's all about.
Okay.
You may have seen with lowered like that
several years ago. Yeah, any curb and go. Yep.
Scott, I know you know this, but I know on Venezuela, the houses weren't built lower than the street originally. The street was lower. As they kept paving and paving, if you don't scarify, take 2 inches down. If you just take 2 inches down and you put 2 inches on, you're still at the same height. But at some point back in the olden days, they just kept relaying and you just kept raising the level of the street. So,
you have some streets that are about 8 inches thick.
Yeah. That's just a thought. You know, we were brainstorming, trying to figure out the drainage. So now you're going to get the gripes from people that my street's full of water. Well, we'd rather a street be full of water for a little while and then drain off than have water in people's homes. And that's just the thought process.
That's the old design concept from years ago. The road was high so you could get to your house. The road was built high. Then that came full circle 20, 25 years later. Let's get the roads low and keep the water out of the houses. Just so happens back in the 50s and 60s when some of these places were built, all the roads are basically even with the land or
flood.
And your point is well taken. I built a new house that's been over 30 years. My driveway sloped down to the street. They've overlaid my street twice. I've got a 6-inch rise now in my driveway up to the street.
I got one rod. I still don't understand to open the pond up to building in.
Talk about opening
retention.
To go toward the coulee.
Yeah. When you open it up, it won't flow back and come back to us because that's why it was closed. On St. Francis Street, I'm talking about.
From what I heard said in this room was at one point in time there was a rain event.
Yeah.
And somebody saw water go from the south side of St. Francis in the pipe into the retention pond.
That's correct.
If the retention pond is lower and ditch got water, it's going to go that way. It's going to go to the low elevation.
Right.
But that area, the drainage of the Brule area, it's made to retain water in there, again, for a design storm.
But only that acreage. We passed that. I was on the planning zoning, and we got figured that.
Yeah, they have drainage map to show the way it's supposed to go.
That's correct. That is correct. And it was designed only to hold that amount of water, nothing extra.
Correct. Okay. Back to the conversation we had in this room, as ditches fill up with dirt, water's going to go the opposite direction, or it's going to be held in that ditch.
Mr. Fondo, also, the ditch that was supposed to be dug on the Canefield side to drain that pipe has never been dug. So the ditch that's there now was draining this way because it should be 4 feet wide at the bottom, if I'm not mistaken. It's supposed to be a massive ditch.
It's supposed to be wider and deep.
And it's supposed to be under those power lines along the Canefield, and it was never done. So that's part of the problem, and if they start building on this third filing back here, they're going to finish that and they're going to take all that water to the back that way with the bigger ditch. They're working on agreements with Sinclair because that's outside the town, but
he told me he was working on
that. Yeah, so they're working on that.
Make that ditch wider and deeper when it comes to the change. to get it where it's supposed to be. The plan to be approved, it's never been built back.
Wouldn't a check valve work? Keep it from coming back?
Yeah, I'd like to put one in there eventually, too.
You can put one of those duct bills in there and just put another type of check valve.
Anybody else? Anybody else want to say anything? Anybody? All right, announcements. The town hall will be closed for July 4th for Independence Day. Landmark and Heritage Meeting on July 15th at 6:30. Do I have a motion to adjourn? Moved by Mr. Andre.
Second.
Second by Mr. Daigle. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it. Meeting's adjourned.